以下嘅時間，請各位來賓用熱烈嘅掌聲再次請出我哋嘅 Mr. Kelvin Beckham， 為大家再講解運用購物年金成功招募嘅新策略。Mr. Kelvin Beckham。
All right. The last thing I want to speak to today is the importance of the National Meeting Training Seminar System. You know, the National Meeting Training Seminar System is a tool that allows everyone to leverage their time, energy, and effort in this business. And what do I mean by that? Leverage, and everybody's heard this before, but I think it bears stating in. Leverage has to do, you've heard it before, leverage has to do with getting what? 1% of 100 people's efforts rather than solely relying on 100% of one person's effort, that one person being you. Now, the greatest way to leverage your time, energy, and effort in the business is to be able to plug your people, your teammates, into the National Meeting Training Seminar System. Why? Because it gets as many people as possible trained on, with respect on what to do, how to do it, why they need to do it, and so that they understand they can go out and be independent on franchise owners or at least take those initial steps. So the key is to get everybody you possibly can plugged into the system as quickly as possible. And the quickest way, you've heard a lot of people talk about it, I started off a little bit today with it, but the quickest way to get your people plugged into the system is for you to attend every event and for you to always buy 3 tickets so that you have 2 tickets to move to people that you intend to bring on as business partners. But you have to get that started quickly. You've got to remember that everybody starts with a vacuum. When you enroll somebody in the business, they don't know anything about the business. There is a vacuum there, okay? And the thing is we have to fill that vacuum up with the right things. You've heard JR say this over and over again. What you set in motion carries in motion. And that's what he means by when you fill that vacuum immediately. You only get one time to make a first impression, okay? And it's very hard to undo what you've done right from the start. And remember, what is done with your new business partner, they're more inclined and they're gonna do the same exact thing with their business partners when they bring them on. So what I wanna do is talk about the importance of the NMTSS and how we need to use it. I think it's very important to understand it's a key component of the unfranchised business development system. The NMTSS is a key component because the unfranchised system is what? It's standardized, is systematic, and is coordinated. In other words, and the NMTSS is the tool or the vehicle by which that standardization, coordination, and systemization is basically duplicated within our system, you know, worldwide, okay? But I want to go back and talk about the 4 cornerstones. You hear about the 4 cornerstones of Market Hong Kong, which is the foundation of the business. And I think it's very important that everybody understands. That's one of the things that doesn't get covered in the meetings and trainings is basically what our business is basically is built upon. And they're the 4 cornerstones, which is binomial marketing, okay, and the management performance compensation plan. The second cornerstone is the product brokerage system and the mall without walls, okay? The third is one-to-one marketing, and the fourth is the unfranchised business development system itself. Now, the reason these are important is this. We're in the conversation business, okay? We really don't pitch the business. If you're pitching the business, that's why you're probably having a hard time recruiting and sponsoring people. Because when you're pitching, you're trying to sell. And as soon as you start to pitch, you're thinking what? You're thinking public speaking. Anytime when that word presentation comes up, when the word presentation comes up, subconsciously your brain is thinking what? Public speaking. I don't care whether it's a flip chart, okay, and one-on-one, you're doing a presentation, your brain is thinking public speaking. If you're going through in a PowerPoint and you're going through one-on-one, your brain is thinking public speaking. Now, you're not public speaking. You're just sitting across what? The kitchen table, knee to knee, eyeball to eyeball, am I right? You're not public, but your brain thinks you are, because then all of a sudden you start to what? You start to sound weird. Because the thing is all of a sudden you start to have anxiety. And that's why people struggle. In other words, and the thing is people, you got to understand something. When you, the reason your brain, why you get anxiety is because studies have shown that other than death, okay, 78 out of 100 human beings are more afraid of public speaking than anything else in the world. Death is the only thing they're more afraid of, okay, and public speaking, and that's what happens. Have you ever noticed all of a sudden, why do I sound so weird when I start showing the plan, okay? It's because your brain is thinking public speaking, all right? Does everybody follow me? And so all of a sudden you start to hem and haw. It's like riding the brake in a car. Okay, and the thing is, you got to remember what the people across, that are listening to you, what they're going is, Joe, I don't know what's wrong with you. You sound funny. But whatever it is you have, I don't want it. You see, the thing is your body language is communicating that what? You're very uncomfortable. And whatever it is, they don't know what this is, but whatever it is, this is making you uncomfortable. So the key is you want to be able to what? Converse. Now, where am I going with this? What I'm saying is these four things, these four cornerstones, if you're educated, if you're knowledgeable, and you understand how the binomial marketing, okay, works with respect to our foundation, the management performance compensation plan, our product brokerage system, okay, and our mall without walls and one-to-one marketing, and the fourth cornerstone, the unfranchised, it allows you to converse. Is everybody with me? It allows you to converse with somebody. And I'll give you a good example. I was at a golf course in Miami. I was down in Miami doing a back-to-back moving up seminar. So what I decided to do is stay in Miami in between weekends and play golf, okay? And so I was playing golf, and I, as I often do, what I will do is I'll show up at the golf course with no tee time, okay? And the thing is golf courses don't like putting people out with just one person. So they always find somebody for you to play with, and preferably three people so they can send four off at once. Well, I got matched up with three people, one of which was a FedEx pilot. He flies FedEx cargo worldwide, and he actually is based and he lives in Hong Kong, okay? So, and this is honest God truth. All I did, he goes, well, what do you do? Okay? I told him I help people establish businesses. They could work part-time and generate a very significant secondary source of income. That's all I said. He says, well, how does your business work? I said, well, we have what we call, it's binomial marketing. And it was just a conversation back and forth. I didn't get into, it's apply, create, qualify, activate, teach, manage, assist others, 12, 12, 12. And I didn't go through any of that. All I did was the whole conversation had to do with these four cornerstones. What made us different? Because what I asked him, I said, is direct sales networking. He goes, oh, I'm familiar. I said, oh, so you've had some experience with network marketing. He says, yeah, I did. I don't know, some company or something. And he actually was very, somewhat moderately successful. So as soon as I found out he had network marketing experience, I just told him, what we had. I said, what was it that, you felt, what did you like best about the last business you were with? I didn't downplay. I didn't beat up on his thing, ask him why he wasn't doing it anymore, anything like that. And he talked to me about it. And I said, what were some of the challenges you had? He started to list off some of the challenges that he remembered. And I just then eased right into the conversation about our four cornerstones. Is everybody with me? In the end, the point is, he ended up wanting to enroll and sign up as an unfranchise owner. And I never showed him the business, as far as we know it. I never showed him the plan. All I did was talk to him about the four cornerstones and what we did differently than pretty much just about every single vehicle out there. And the point I'm trying to get, as long as you're knowledgeable, okay, and you get this in the NMTSA, you can talk to people. It doesn't matter. It's just a business vehicle, okay? When we show them the plan, we're just showing them how they're compensated. And we show them how to establish it with respect to getting the business started. But the key things they really want to know is what makes us different. And these four cornerstones are very important. I'm going to go through them. First, the binomial marketing. We build what? We build deep and not wide. Very easy to explain. I said, how'd you do it? Well, we had a multi-level plan. Great. You know what happens? What was it, like 11, 6, 5, and 3? He goes, yeah. I said, do you understand? I said, if We all have a prospect list, right? We all have a prospect list, and guess what? First person I've signed James up. Guess what? He has a prospect list. He's in the center of his sphere. I'm in the center of mine. We have an overlap. Guess what? In a multi-level compensation plan, what happens? We're both trying to fill up our front line at 11%. Well, James, I bring James in. He's on my first line. We both want Anthony and Joe. Where does James want him? He wants him underneath him. Why? Because he gets 11%. I don't want him underneath him because I only get 6. I want him right with James, so I get 11, 11, and 11. Does everybody see that? So I immediately am in competition with James. Everybody follow that? So I'm relating this to people, you know, this individual, okay, could have been anybody, on how we're different with the binomial as far as building deep and not wide. And then it automatically puts myself and James into a team building, because guess what? Anthony and Joe are both our list. It doesn't matter. They're both going to all, both of them are going to go under each other. Is everybody with me? So we keep that synergy, and we're not into competition. Okay, we have people outside the sphere. We have different people outside the sphere, both James and I, and we can build the other what? The other organization using people that are not in our common overlap. Okay. The other thing is we're profitable, but we're also stable. You can find anything that's very profitable, but it's not necessarily stable, meaning it's not here for the long term. As soon as it runs out of gas and you quit feeding it, okay, it's going to go away, okay? And the thing is the reason they're profitable but not stable is they pay on a gross percentage of the volume. In other words, they may pay on, like, you know, 11% on the gross, or 6 or 5 or 3, and then a pay line, but they pay on a gross percentage. Now, what does that mean? That means that the guy at the top is always going to get paid. They're always going to get paid a lot of money. They're never, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But the key in networking and the key in residual income is not, because you got to keep feeding it. The key is getting people paid. You got to get your people paid, because that's where the longevity comes in. Because as long as people are getting paid and getting paid significantly, okay, what happens is they keep doing what they do. Is everybody with me? And so we cap. We cap it for two reasons. One, we cap it so you can only earn a fixed amount out of one center, and you have to re-enter, open up another own franchise, if you will, not technically, but you have to open up another center by what? Qualifying it, activating it. And then you have to do it again. But the key is you get paid more, but you have to do something. And at the same time, it does what? It feeds at least half of everybody's business in between and then secures your original business. Okay? So the cap actually works. And it also makes it so we can do what? So that we can pay, everybody gets 100% of 100% of what's being done below them, whether they sponsor them or not, okay? So they all, those numbers, they all feed off of one another, and they serve a certain purpose. We also emphasize team, that environment of building depth. The environment of building depth emphasizes team versus the individual, okay? And they always want to focus on team, okay? Why? Because by building and focusing on team, what we're focused on is getting our people paid, okay? I don't mean giving them money. I mean teaching them how to earn money, okay? So the key is we use the common leg, okay? Whether you realize it or not, I'm just going to open up your eyes if they're not open yet. You need to be using the common leg to teach people how to build a leg. I'll say this again. Use the common leg to teach people how to build a leg. See, we tell people they don't have to build what? But two organizations to earn a six-figure ongoing income, correct? Not 4, not 6, not 8, not 12. We don't build wide, we build deep. You only have to build 2 to make it. But the key is we've got to teach people how to build a leg so they can build the other leg with minimal supervision. And so we use the common leg. What do I mean by that? Very quickly. I sponsor James in the business. I put him on the 002 left. Okay, whether I sponsor Anthony or Joe, it doesn't matter, or James sponsor Anthony and Joe, it doesn't matter. Guess what? 002 left, 002 left. Everybody with me? So now what happens is this. I'm doing using the ABC pattern to teach James, Anthony, and Joe to do what? How to build a leg. We have other things that, you know, that I'll get into in a little bit later, but I'm teaching them how to build it. And we go together with the ABC pattern. And then we lead to Emily. Is everybody with me? So the thing is I'm teaching everybody in the common leg how to build a leg so that when we build up enough of pressure, remember the pressure I talked about, like an earthquake? All of a sudden, whoever wants to break loose and relieve that pressure and get paid, they take off. But they know they've learned how to build a leg. Does everybody follow me? Okay, so we use that. But the key is emphasizing team. I always ask people when I first bring them on board in the business, okay, do you want to make, I always ask, this is a key question, do you want to make $300, whatever, what's the equivalent of $300 in Hong Kong? 23? Okay, 20, do you want to make, I should have done 7.8 times 3, but 2,800, right? 23. Do you want to make $2,300? Do you want to make $2,300 fast? Or do you want to make $11,500 faster? See what I mean? Which one do you want? Do you want that $300 check real quick? Or would you like to build, you know, $11,500 a week faster? Does everybody follow me? See, the key is I can get you a $2,300 check like that, can't we? It's very easy. But the key is we want to get to $11,500 a week quickly. You with me? Versus get that check. None of us opened up our business, at least I hope not, to make a $2,300 check. We opened up the business to make $11,500 a week or more. Is everybody with me? Okay. But the thing is, we've got to build it that way. See, a lot of people, what they do, and I go back and I think about this over 20 some years, you know, I messed it all up in the beginning. Okay. Because I was thinking, okay, it was the most important thing to do was get activated. Well, the reason the most important thing for an individual to do is to get activated is to do what? Make it so they're eligible to get paid. So that was overriding what really was important, which was finding good business partners and then investing my time, energy, and effort with the business partners so that I was building a leg, building a team, and building a team that could actually build by themselves. Because you still got to build too. So I was fighting it. I was fighting it until I gave it up and just found 2, 3, 4 good people. And all I did was focus on helping them, built that leg, taught them to build a leg. They ended up making more money than me quicker. But it doesn't matter because guess what? Then I took, and rather than spending 80% of my time with them, I spent 20%, the other 80% trying to build the other leg. And it didn't take long to where the other leg ended up surpassing that leg. Key is, once I gave it up, rather than trying to activate it and keep it balanced and just go where the energy was, it worked out much quicker. And rather what we normally do a lot of times is we do what? Here's how it goes. We bring somebody in the business. They have a 2 and a 3. We continue to build down the common leg with them or without them, whether they come to any of the meetings, regardless. They get what? They get over 1,200 BV on that common leg very quickly, like, you know, maybe in a week. Next thing we do is we tell them to put all their excess BV in their what? The 003. We even dump some of our excess BV all the way up to what? We keep it around 1,000 BV. Don't let it go over 1,000 BV. Very first person they sponsor goes in the common leg, right? So that makes it so that all they got to do is the second person they sponsor, they activate and they automatically get a check. Then what we think is that now they got a check, they know how to do the business. What they did was we create an environment where they got a check and they have no idea how they got it. They don't know what to do. In other words, we didn't teach them anything, okay? And then what do? We go on to the next person that we sponsored down here in the and we do the same thing with them. And when then we go again, we take that person, they get their $300 check, and we go again. Is everybody with me? So we end up, they get something for nothing. We didn't teach them. And then all of a sudden, they expect something for nothing. Is everybody with me? We've all done it. Maybe nobody in this room, but I did. Okay? But the good thing is I failed quickly, all right? But the thing is, the key is to emphasize the team. So as soon as I quit and stopped that and realized this is ridiculous, okay, I went with the four good people. They all became national supervising coordinators before I ever hit professional, okay? But it doesn't matter because guess what? Now I had one side that knew what to do. Now I could focus my attention on the other. The other thing, and I already talked about it, it minimizes what? Competition within the organization. We're all in the team. Product brokerage system in the mall without walls. It's powerful. It's powerful. One, we don't manufacture anything. That's key. We don't have the costs associated with manufacturing. It eliminates the cost of making the product. We eliminate the cost of inventory. We eliminate the cost of marketplace swings. And we eliminate the one category or one line of product. If we go to eliminate the cost of making, it's the operations, it's the cost of good, everything that's involved is huge, okay? And at the same time, we can't make everything, can we? Matter of fact, we can only make a few things if we're actually the manufacturer, all right? We also have to sell everything we make. And we inventory it because it piles up and it's ready to go. We only have 5, 6, 10, 12, 15 things that we make. But what happens is that inventory just sits there and sits there. This way, as a product brokerage, all we do is we carry what we sell plus a percentage, allow a percentage of that product for growth. What do I mean by growth? People ordering product, you know, to qualify their centers when they come into the business, as well as the one-to-one marketing where we're increasing the share of product that we sell to a customer. Okay, but it's all calculated so at any one time we have minimal inventory in the warehouse. So we're not if a product all of a sudden falls out of disfavor in the marketplace or whatever like that, we have minimal amounts of that product. Okay, and it allows us to operate very efficiently and very effectively. All right. The other thing is we eliminate one product line. Now, as the fact that we're a product brokerage company, we can identify trends in the marketplace. And we can basically go after those products, okay, that, you know, are currently in high demand. It allows us to have a dynamic model. When you think about it from when we started, James, or, you know, a long time ago, what has happened is we've changed a lot, but everything has been for the good. I mean, we were able to adapt when the internet got involved, you know, became, you know, and people started to have internet presence and businesses. We were able to basically come up with a shopping site to basically give every single independent unfranchised owner so that they had what? So they had internet presence and they could compete with other businesses out there in the marketplace, okay? And it gave us posture. It gave us credibility, okay, each and every one of us. And at the same time, what we did, we identified trends in the marketplace. And one of the examples is Pentaxyl. Do we have Pentaxyl in Hong Kong? Yes. Great. It was a wild guess there. But in Pentaxyl, all right, there was a product called Strivectin, all right, that was like, I don't know, maybe 11 years ago or 12, about a year before we got Pentaxyl. And I don't know how long Pentaxyl. I've been doing this for 24 years, so it all... I've lost time of what's what. But the point is, Pentaxyl, we saw it going off the shelves at high-end department stores, Saks, Bloomingdale's, and they were paying. Women were paying, maybe even some men probably, okay? People were paying $139 for a tube of this stuff, okay? And it was just going. And we saw articles in the newspaper, a big thing hit. Well, what we did was we went and we identified there's a trend in the marketplace, correct? All we did was search out a manufacturer that could make the same product with three times the active ingredient at a better price so that we were able to bring Pentaxyl to our mall without walls, if you will, okay? We basically could sell it for half of what Strivectin had, three times the active ingredient. The point is, what we try to do is identify the demand and find a better mousetrap, okay? In other words, not a mousetrap that's just the same as everybody else's, just so that we can say we have a mousetrap, but we want to identify a better mousetrap to bring so that you have the edge when you're actually pitching a product to somebody else, okay? And at the same time, if we have a product that turns into no demand, it doesn't matter. Like I said earlier, we're not stuck with a whole lot of inventory. And then we provide, we're able to provide multiple categories and multiple lines of products. Does everybody see that? So we're not dependent necessarily on one product. How many people ever remember the product Thermachrome 5000? Maybe one, two, three, four, maybe about five or six of us in the room. Well, if you can imagine, okay, again, let me ask you, how many people use OPC3 here? Raise your hand. How many people sell OPC3? Okay. It's a pretty good product, correct, with respect to, you know, in the marketplace. Well, let me tell you what, Thermachrome 5000, OPC3, the entire isotonic line, nothing. Our whole, every product does not hold a candle to Thermachrome 5000. Your customers would call you up at 2 o'clock in the morning if they ran out. And they wanted it, and they wanted it now. The product was unbelievable, and it just sold. But the thing is we also had isotonics. We also had other products that we were also doing what? We were able to build a huge market for those other products because, one, they were great products. But what got us in the door was the fact that the Thermachrome 5000 was a hell of a product. So the thing is the way I used to sell it is they do the Thermachrome 5000. It was a weight management product. The individual would lose weight. I'd talk about their curbing their appetite, and I said, you know what, Joanne, it curbs your appetite, doesn't it? She goes, yeah. I said, man, you're looking great, unbelievable. How long have you been using this product? Oh, about, you know, 3 weeks. It curbed your appetite. She goes, yeah, you know, sometimes I forget to eat. I'm just not hungry. Well, you got, your body needs nutrition. And it just so happens we got a great health and nutrition line called Isotonics. And I go into the delivery system, why it's so great. What did I do? Well, she ends up buying the multivitamin. She ends up buying the vitamin C and the B12. Why? Because the Thermachrome works so well. Odds are this product has to be a great product too. Is everybody with me? So she was more inclined to switch brands of those products she was buying already by the Isotonic. Now I had her buying what? 3-4 products. And then it all led to what? Well, those products were so good, she started buying the laundry detergent. The point I'm trying to make is, as we practice one-to-one marketing and I increase the share of product, okay, that she was buying, what happens? What happens is I'm selling a lot of product to her, but it's multiple products. So the one day when all of a sudden, and everybody was doing that, so one day when we had to take Thermachrome 5000 off the market, guess what? Nobody's commissions really took a big hit. Why? Because we had spread the exposure, okay, across all the product lines, and we weren't really relying on one product. Is everybody with me? We used the one product to get into the other lines, but we weren't relying solely on our business existence on the one product, okay? Now, it's the most efficient, when you get to one, it's the most efficient way to move product, okay? It's easier to sell more product to fewer people. Why? Because it's easier to sell to satisfied customers. What did I do with Joanne? She only bought the isotonics and she tried the isotonics. Why? Because the Thermachrome works so well. So we capitalize on the success and the positive results and experiences a customer has with one product to introduce and get them to incrementally try other products that we sell and represent. Is everybody with me? Okay, so that we end up with 10 to 15 what? 15 customers that are all buying 4, 5, 6, 7 products because we've gotten them to incrementally switch to brands. At the same time, we have what? We have rapport, we have dialogue going on, and at the same time, so now we don't have to send out surveys, it's just a dialogue. We're finding out what they want and what they need. Then we provide the shop.com site. What a great way to sell and distribute product. You don't have to inventory product anymore. All you have is some product that you basically what? You sell first time, the initial sale physical out of physical inventory. But the thing is you don't have to have mass quantities of inventory because you just direct subsequent orders to where? Your shop.com site, and then we just drop ship to them, okay? So it allows for carrying minimal inventory of the products. Partner stores, it allows whatever, whenever. Okay, there's all kinds of stores they're already ordering from, same brands, wherever it may be, and what happens? Okay, they just go right to the site and they buy whatever they want, whenever they want it. Okay, online present exposure gives us that credibility I talked about. Okay? With respect to the unfranchised business development system, it facilitates duplication. I spoke about the leverage right from the very, very beginning. It allows us to what? Leverage our time, energy, and efforts with the organization we're building. Systematic, standardized, as well as uniform, all the way across the board. Now, the NMTSS is the key component, of the unfranchised system. Open meetings, training, and seminar system. It's an open meeting, training, and seminar system. In your traditional direct sales and networking businesses, it's a closed system. The only people that I would teach and train would be my people, people that were directly in my line of sponsorship. The only people that Joanne would teach and train would be the people that are directly in her line of sponsorship. Same thing with James, Anthony, okay, and Emily. The point is this. You see how that restricts. The only people they ever see, my people see, is me. The only people Joanne's people ever see or get trained by would be Joanne. After a while, your people become like your children. Anybody have children that don't pay attention to them? They'll pay attention to the woman next door or the man next door or their friends before they pay attention to us. It's just human nature. Okay, so after a while, they get tired of seeing and being taught and trained by us. So the key is, with the open meeting training seminar system, I can go teach and train Joanne's people. They get a fresh seven times, seven different ways from seven different people. It's the same thing. She can teach and train, and all of a sudden, we've got four or five leaders all teaching and training different people. It keeps it fresh. Okay, and the thing is it allows for chemistry. Some of my people, I'll never forget one time, I had this guy, he was a director, became a director in my business. I never forget, I've been with this guy three years. I told him everything there was, boom, boom, boom. It's something simple, basic, in the basic five. I never forget, Dennis was training that day, and he said something, and this guy, Craig, he elbows me, he says, man, he says, I get that, I really understand how that works. Why didn't you tell me that? I told him, but it doesn't matter. It didn't resonate. But I don't care as long as he got it. Is everybody with me? It's not important who they get it from. What's important is that they got it. Okay? But the thing is you've got to expose your people to other trainers. Okay? It keeps it fresh. The other thing is this. It allows me to leverage. Okay? Let's say now we've worked together locally, and then all of a sudden I go, or Joanne goes and sponsors somebody long distance. And she starts to build in a different area. And some of my people end up having people in her area. Now, all of a sudden, instead of her having to go all the time, once a month, she can go once every 2 months, and I can go once every 2 months. So now, all of a sudden, we leverage our time, energy, and efforts. Everybody with me? So it's very important that we work in an area. I tell people all the time, you'll never, especially in new areas, you're never going to be able to build an area, build your organization an area if you don't build the area. Focus on the area first. You got to build the area so that you have multiple lines of sponsorship all contributing the what? The expertise of their upline. Because their upline is going to come in, and so now you got four, five, six, seven trainers coming in. They don't see the same old face all the time. It just gets old. The same thing. Boom, boom, boom. There's no freshness. Okay? So it's key that open meetings, training, and seminar system facilitates making that happen, okay? Now, allows for maximum geographic exposure, okay? The NMT makes it so that, guess what? You've got somebody that's building in New York, they have relatives or whatever in Taiwan. Now, all of a sudden, they can build in Taiwan without them having to be there all the time, because when the NMTSS is established in Taiwan, they can just plug their people in. And they might go over there once every 6 months. But in a closed system, number one, they'd never be able to build there. Or if they did, they would have to take out what? Bank loans just to get over there and be there for any length of time, quit their job, the whole bit, which is just, it's just not practical, okay? So again, that's what I'm leading into here. It levels the playing field for the building at a distance, okay? It also allows universal access to the very best trainers like I just described in the example below. So NMTSS core objectives. What are they? I say this, anything other than these four things is white noise. It's nice stuff, but it's support. You've heard the term result-producing activities, right? Okay, well, there's result-producing activities, there's support activities, and there are what they call housekeeping activities. Those are only three types of activities in an organizational structure. Result, support, and housekeeping. Okay, these are the result-producing activities to the unfranchised. Selling and using product, it creates what? BV and IBV. Creates BV and IBV. And that IBV, creating BV and IBV is the only thing that gets us what? Paid, okay? Sharing the shopping annuity. In other words, the process. Why is that a result-producing activity? Because as we share and expose people to the shopping annuity concept and process, it shows them how we can do what? We can basically grow our results 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times faster and 7 times greater, okay? The third is sharing the business. We're going to expand sales and distribution. Why? Because it puts us into markets we'd never be able to tap into. Okay? I know what? I know 60 to 300 people. Okay? James, I want to sponsor James because he knows 60 to 300 people I don't know. And they're potential customers as well as potential what? Business partners. Joanne knows 60 to 300 people I don't know. So now all of a sudden, if we take the 300 at the max, which would be more, okay, I know 300. I'm limited to 300, but if I expand my business by what? By bringing James as a partner on, okay, by showing him how he can make money in the business, I now have 600. He brings in Joanne, we have now have 900. Does everybody see that? So we expand our market for unfranchised owners who also have 60 to 300, but we also expand our potential customer base. Makes sense? So that's a result-producing activity because that's BV and IBV, BV and IBV, and that's why we get how we get paid. The other thing is leverage, selling tickets, selling education. You've got to get trained. You've got to be knowledgeable. You got to be, because why? Knowledge is confidence. You can't recruit. You can't sponsor. You can't prospect unless you got posture. You've got to have posture. You got to have confidence. And where does that come from? That comes from being knowledgeable. And so it's imperative that people plug in and get trained. You got to get trained, okay? So these are the four things that are result-producing activities. How? It's very simple. It's application and implementation of the basic five. You got to have the right attitude. You got to be knowledgeable. You have to have a goal. You have to have an objective, okay? What gets measured gets done. You got to be able to, set the goal, measure it, monitor it, and see how, you know, where you're going in progression, okay? Retailing. We retail. There's no reason to build an organization. There's no reason to recruit anybody if they're not going to retail product. We're in the business of creating BV and IBV. The only way we create BV and IBV is by what? By selling product, using and selling product, okay? And you sell what you use. Prospecting and sponsoring. You've got to be what? You've got to know how to control the conversation. You need to... I made somebody very unhappy. I'm sorry. Okay? But you got to be able to control the conversation in order to prospect. Okay? Now, so in order to expand the organization. And then the follow-up in the ABC pattern of building depth. I described that a little bit earlier. What's it all about? It's about teaching people how to what? Build a leg so they can build a leg with minimal supervision or assistance. Okay? Now, why do we do that? One, it's about developing and empowering people. Why? Because we need duplication. We need people duplicating the right things, doing the right things, and not doing the wrong things. Okay? And it allows us to leverage our growth, okay? Leverage our growth by doing what? Rather than just us doing everything, we've got 5, 10, 15, 20 people that are knowledgeable and they're actually taking and applying and implementing and taking action, okay? The correct action. And by doing that, we get exponential growth, exponential results in both BV and IB, which equates to lots of money, okay? The National Meeting Training Seminar System. It's a proven system, it's standardized, coordinated, and it's uniform. It basically starts out with your possibility list. Then it goes to what? You have your possibility list, you've got your approaches, and it leads to a two-on-one. Then it could lead to a home business presentation, group interviews, business lunches, webinars. There's all different ways in which to what? Expose the business. I gave you one which was about as far out as it ever gets. I never even brought up the business. I just talked about, you know, what made us different than anybody else. He said, okay, I want to enroll. I said, okay. Next day we played golf and I enrolled him in the clubhouse. All right, but the thing is what we do is the meeting after the meeting. That's pretty much, I think, is the most important meeting there is the meeting after the meeting, okay? Because it's afterwards, after you show them the plan. It's after, you know, you've shown them how the business model works, okay? The meeting after the meeting is where we basically line up what? Point of contact to point of contact. In other words, after you show them the plan, you got to book an appointment to meet again. It's always, you always have to book an appointment to meet again. Now, if you're in a public place where you have a meeting after meeting, and it's a two-on-one, three-on-one, it might be a UBP, you're going to use your team to basically do the meeting after the meeting with your potential business partner. What does that do? It basically lets them know that, guess what, this is a team effort. There's more than just Joe saying, man, I'm glad there's more to this than just Kevin. Okay? In other words, because it's just me, and he's thinking, hey, it's just me and him. How are we going to make it? But all of a sudden, when I introduce him to my other partners, either senior partners or junior partners in the business, okay, and he meets Anthony and Joanne and James and Emily, what happens, all of a sudden, he feels a lot more comfortable, doesn't he? And they've all know how to pitch in and get him to do what? What's the number one thing we want to do? Get him to the next event. In other words, we want to get him to the next event to plug in, because it's at the event that the business gets verified, validated, and there's a sense that, you know what, a belief starts to set in. Is everybody with me? That's where it really starts. How many people have ever been to international convention? Okay, or world conference? Okay, I ask you, down deep, isn't it there really that the belief starts to get in there? It's really right then and there. I know. I've been here since Genesis. I remember Joanne. I remember James. You know, and I can see it in people when they're brand new and everything. All of a sudden, you can see their body. Everything starts to change after one or two international conventions. Why? Because they're seeing people go across the stage. And I know what's running through Joanne's mind. If she can do it, I know I can do it. If she can do it, I know I can do it. James going, if he can do that, I know I can do it. Okay? I can, it's ridiculous. Okay? And that's the biggest thing I think people take away from the conventions or the big events. The big events, they see people that are making significant money, and they basically do what? They validate themselves. You know what? I believe I can do this. If that person can do it, I know I can do it. Okay? And that's key. And that's what the events do, whether it be a world conference, an international convention, an annual convention like this, even a local seminar, a couple local seminars where they find it. The thing is it verifies and validates the business, because you see people that are being successful with their unfranchise, okay? You see them being successful with unfranchise, it's apparent publicly that they're making money, they're making significant money, and it's there where the belief starts to set in. More importantly, not necessarily just belief in the company, not just necessarily belief in the unfranchise system, but most importantly, belief in yourself. That's where it starts to set in. You begin to believe in yourself that you're capable of doing this. I mean, really, when you get right down to it, what do you have to do? It goes right back to what I talked about this morning. There's four basic steps. You got to identify products, goods, and services you're buying already. Just make a plan to incrementally change those brands out with ones that you're going to sell and represent. For those products, goods, and services that we don't have Hong Kong branded products for, we're just going to buy the same brand, same products, same goods, same service from the same stores. All we're going to do is change how we make those purchases. Rather than doing what? Brick and mortar or going direct to their site, we're just going to do and buy them through our site. Okay? The third thing we're going to do is as we build that small portfolio of 10 to 15 customers. What are we going to do? We're just going to do the same two things with them, aren't we? That's all. Because they're already doing these things. It's not like we have to teach them to do anything different. They're already buying these products, goods, and services. They're already shopping on the internet. Okay, so it's not like we have to teach them to do or get them to do anything they're not already doing. It's all about just building a relationship, engaging in dialogue, sustaining that dialogue until such time they just see the light. Okay, the fact that they can monetize, and basically earn off of the spending that they're going to do anyway. Does everybody follow this? I think I'm clicking this thing. Okay? All right. Now, the fourth step is just finding two individuals that what? Two individuals every 3 months that want to improve their financial situation by doing those three things. Everybody follow this? That's it. That's all that needs to be done. So the basic activities that are required to succeed in the business, you're already doing them. Okay? The individual is already doing them. The only thing they need is they need to plug into the system, go to the events. You need to go to the events. You need to go to the trainings to demonstrate to them that they're valuable, they have worth, they're beneficial, and you have to go. You have to go. One thing I can guarantee you, okay? Let me tell you this. I can't guarantee you that you will be successful in this business. I cannot guarantee you that you will be successful in this business. But there's one thing I can guarantee you. I will guarantee you this. If you don't attend the meetings, if you don't attend the trainings, and you don't attend the conventions, you will not be successful. Your people will not be successful. I can guarantee you that. Because there's one thing everybody that's ever made it in this business has in common. They go to the meetings, they go to the trainings, and they get their people to do the same. The NMTSS, you need the NMTSS, and the NMTSS needs you because it's the energy, the excitement, and the enthusiasm that's transferred at these events that serves multiple purposes within our business, okay? Thank you very much, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Kevin.